Chapter 7 Games Protocols 2052 Machine Intelligence Lab, University of Florida, Gainesville, Florida, USA. "Good afternoon, Ada," said Hawking, with a polite incline of his head. For over 2 years, Ada's mom had spent evenings and weekends holed up in the university working on her robot, canceling everything from movie nights to entire vacations at the last minute. Even after Ada's dad had got sick, her mom barely missed a day at the lab. It would have been easy for Ada to hate Hawking, but the tech junkie inside her couldn't help marveling at him. It wasn't just his size and intelligence, nor the complexity of the science that had been required to construct him. Hawking was more than just a computer, a machine of metal, plastic, and circuitry. He could talk and interact, his faceplate molded into smooth human features that registered basic expressions. He was alive. "Hey, Hawking," Ada said, sinking into the seat opposite him. "How are you today?" "I am well, thank you." Hawking gestured at the chessboard on the table. "Dr. Loring has just taught me the basic rudiments of chess, but I am finding the game somewhat perplexing. The king is the most important piece upon the board. When he falls, the game is ended. Yet he is also the weakest piece. Even a pawn can become a queen." Ada thought about this for a second. "I guess it's like people," she said. "Sometimes they can look strong on the outside, but on the inside, they're kind of soft. And the other way around."
"Like me," said Kip, puffing his chest out.
Ada laughed. "You're my knight," she said, "because you're loyal and brave, and I never know where you're going to move next."
"You're the queen," Kip declared. "You can do anything, and you'll always have me to protect you."
"Aw, thanks, little guy."
Hawking considered the chessboard. "So, if I wish to win at this game," he said thoughtfully, "I must protect my king."
"You heard Kip," Ada said, putting her arm round the little robot's shoulders. "Gotta take care of the people who are important to you."
"This is why we run these games protocols," her mom added. "By playing chess and backgammon and Go, you can learn about humans and increase the efficiency of your problem-solving capabilities at the same time."
Hawking nodded. Despite his vast processing power, he moved slowly and deliberately, like an old man, and could be easily confused. But even though he was still getting to grips with the human world, the potential of his brain was astonishing.
"Ada's brought us some good news, Hawking," Sarah continued. "You have made the final of the Rodan Challenge. We're going to Kuala Lumpur."
"That is excellent news, Dr. Loring," the robot replied with a bow of his head. "Congratulations."
"And to you," said Ada's mom. "Now let's see if we can win this thing, shall we?" She swiped open her holoscreen and logged onto a computer program. A black knight chess piece flashed up on the screen. Spartak was the ultimate chess program. Maintaining an open challenge site and playing thousands of simultaneous games around the globe, even as it took on and beat the highest-ranked human grandmasters. To display Hawking's capabilities, Dr. Loring planned to teach him chess and see whether he could learn to defeat Spartak. But first it was Ada's turn. She sat down behind the white pieces as Kip looked on, fascinated, bombarding her with questions. Hawking played in silence, concentrating intently. He had only just learned the rules to the game, but already Ada could sense his processing unit's calculating strategies. She won the first game, just. But shortly into the next one, she found herself in deep trouble, her queen besieged by attacking pieces. As she pondered her next move, she was aware of her mom standing in front of her.
"Say hello, Ada."
Ada looked up to find her mom was filming her on her smart glasses. She frowned, brushing her hair out of her face.
"Hi.
Aren't you going to smile for the camera?"
Ada held up her hand, shielding her face from the lens. What are you doing, Mom?
Dr. Luring switched off her glasses. All Rodan Challenge entrants have to document their work, and this is a pretty important day, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but for you guys, it's not like I built Hawking.
Hey, you're an integral part of the team. You think I don't know how hard these last few months have been for you? Especially with me having to work so much? I could never do this without you.
There's only a month left until the final. After that, we can spend all the time together you want.
Sounds good, Ada said cautiously. Her mom had made these kinds of promises before.
You're still coming on Thursday night, though, right?
Sarah stared at her blankly.
Thursday night.
The science fair. You know, the one I've spent weeks working on my project for, the one you promised you'd come to?
But Ada, that was before we made the shortlist.
Mom!
Okay, she said, holding up her hands. You're right. Of course I'll be there.
You swear?
Dr. Luring smiled. Hand on heart. After all, I need to find out what you've been up to. You've been so secretive about this project.
Ada glanced across at Spartak's homepage. We're allowed to have a few secrets, right, Kip?
Absolutely, the robot replied enthusiastically. I haven't told Castle or Dr. Luring anything about your project or the drone.
At the sight of Ada's furious glance, the robot hurriedly adopted an innocent expression. Sarah gave her daughter an inquiring look over the top of her glasses.
Drone?
It's probably nothing, Ada said, trying to sound casual. I thought a drone was trying to follow me home from school, so I lost it in the industrial park. Maybe it had suffered some kind of glitch. You know what sec drones are like.
Why on earth didn't you say anything?
I was going to, but then I found out about the Rodan Challenge and it kind of slipped my mind.
Really? Ada's mom said disapprovingly. Let's hope the police take it a little more seriously when I call them.
I wouldn't worry about the police, Mom, Ada replied, stifling a grin. I bet they're already on the lookout for it.
Kip opened his mouth and Ada nudged him with her foot, sending him staggering to one side. The robot grabbed hold of a table leg to steady himself, the chess pieces wobbling on the board. He hurriedly closed his mouth.
Telling her mom about the drone was one thing, but if Sarah learned about Ada's hacking, she'd never let her near a computer again.
Once Dr. Luring had initiated the game's protocols, they left Hawking in front of the holoscreen, considering his first move against Spartak, and made their way out of the machine intelligence lab. The sun had dipped below the campus roofs, shadows lengthening outside the Department for Ancient Civilizations. When Ada went to free her bike from the security block, she felt an uneasy prickle between her shoulder blades. She turned round to see the woman from outside the engineering department sitting on a stone bench, her pendant camera pointed directly at Ada.
Mom, Ada said, I think we have company.
As Dr. Luring followed her gaze, the woman got up and walked over to them.
Sorry if I startled you, she called out. I recognized your daughter from earlier.
We met outside the engineering department. I'm Lily Parker.
Dr. Sarah Luring, Ada's mom said, warily shaking her proffered hand.
I've been going around the university, trying to get reactions to the Hayag protest, Lily said.
But no one seems to want to talk. I don't suppose you have a comment, Dr. Luring?
A comment? An elegant woman in casual young clothes, as though trying to fit in on campus. The constant photographing. I'm exactly where I need to be.
You're a reporter, Ada said.
Lily held up her hands. Guilty as charged. I got a tip-off about the demonstration and came down here to see if I could get an exclusive.
I'm afraid I can't help you, Ms. Parker, Dr. Luring said firmly. As you can see, the engineering department is a long way from here.
The reporter examined the building looming up behind her.
You would be an expert in ancient civilizations, right?
Ada's mom blinked.
Oh, well, she said after a pause. I don't know about expert.
My husband used to adore that kind of thing, Lily said. You know, Greeks and Romans, wars and empires. The battle between the old and the new.
She shot an arch glance at Ada, who once again had the irritating sense that she was being talked down to, as though Lily knew a joke Ada wasn't in on.
I find it fascinating, too, Dr. Luring said politely, unlocking her bike. But if you'll forgive me, it's been a long day and we were just on our way home.
She placed a hand on Ada's shoulder, steering her past the reporter.
The police broke up the demonstration, you know, Lily called out, and arrested some of the protesters. Don't you think that says something about the right to free speech in this country?
Ada's mom laughed with incredulity.
Free speech? What about my daughter's right to walk safely through a university campus? High Egg don't care about free speech. They're nothing but a gang of thugs.
Lily flashed a smile. Can I quote you on that, Dr. Luring?
Absolutely not.
The reporter bowed her head, accepting defeat. Slipping her pendant camera back inside her sweater, she walked away down the path, melting into the darkness beyond the trees. Dr. Luring watched her go.
How did you meet her again, Ada?
In the square, like she said. I had to swerve my bike to avoid hitting her. Kinda wish I carried straight on now.
Tell me if you run into her again, okay?
Ada shrugged.
She's just a reporter, Mom.
We don't know what she is. They rode out through the campus together, light sensors bursting into life like brilliant white flowers to illuminate their path. When they arrived home, Ada's mom settled the grocery bill and ordered takeout. As they ate pizza in front of the TV together, Ada could almost forget about robots and reporters, drones and international challenges. But it wasn't long before her mom's eyes began to shift back towards her papers on the dining room table. Ada went to get herself a glass of water from the kitchen and came back to find her working at the table.
I'm going to bed, Ada said with a yawn.
She put her arm round her mom and gave her a hug.
Try and get some sleep, Mom. You look tired.
Dr. Luring was lost in her work again.
Just a few more minutes.
With a shake of the head, Ada headed up the stairs.
Night, Kip.
Good night, Ada. Upstairs, she checked the Gainesville Police Department system to see whether there had been any fresh sightings of the unmarked drone. But there were no updates. The first photos from Han's party were appearing on Rate, beside excited posts littered with grinning emojis. As Ada looked through the pictures, memories came flooding back of her trip to Han's lake house the previous summer, when they had still been a couple. Bright sunlight playing on the tips of the waves. Ada screaming as she jumped into the freezing lake. Han's laughter as they splashed around in the water together. Damp footprints on the dock. Goosebumps rippling across her skin as she dried herself. The thrill that ran through her when Han leaned forward to kiss her. They were memories Ada had locked away in her mind without even realizing, keeping them precious and safe. Because a week after that day at the lake house, her dad came back from the hospital with some very bad news and everything changed. A video feed flashed up on screen. Ada couldn't stop herself from pressing play. She was plunged straight into the party, shouts and screams of laughter merging with the thumping music. A dazzling light show flickered out across the lake, neon-colored lasers slicing through the darkness. On the jetty, people were drinking and dancing. The camera swung round in time to catch a boy leaping with a whoop into the water. Through the crush, Ada spotted Pree and Kit being chatted up by a couple of older-looking guys. The camera moved on, and she was about to stop the video feed when she caught sight of Han. He wasn't alone. A pretty girl with bright blue hair and a nose ring was nestled in the crook of his arm as he gazed up at the light show. Han whispered something in her ear, and she laughed. Then she leaned forward and kissed him on the lips. Ada quickly closed her computer. There was a sick feeling in the pit of her stomach, which she angrily told herself to ignore. They broke up months ago. Han could do what he liked. Feeling suddenly exhausted, Ada lay down on her bed and turned out the lamp. But it was a long time before she fell asleep.